Good afternoon, everyone. This week we have the incredible privilege to read Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas has many incredible stories, narratives, ups and downs, accomplishments, trials, tribulations, tragedies. We read about the death of Miriam, the death of Aaron. We begin to see the end of one generation and the emergence of a second. But I want to draw your attention to two ideas from the Parsha. The first is at the beginning of the Parsha, and the second is a little bit more towards the end. The Parsha begins with the concept of the Parah Aduma. Loosely translated, we call it the red cow or the red heifer. The Torah tells us the details of someone who becomes tame, ritually impure, from coming in contact with a corpse, a dead body. How does one achieve purity after this point in time? So the Torah tells us, you take the Parah Aduma, you go ahead, eat this red heifer, you take it outside of the Beis Hamikdash, outside of the temple, you slaughter it, you burn it, you take the ashes, mix them with spring water and a couple of other ingredients, sprinkle it upon the individual who is tame, who is impure. And after doing that a couple of times, the person regains their level of tara, their level of purity. What's the logic? What's the rhyme or reason for this particular obligation or commandment? The Torah introduces this concept with one word. Zos chukas ha-Torah. It's a chok. You see, my friends, in Judaism, we have different types of commandments. We have mishpatim, which teach us ultimately again about interpersonal law. We have mitzvos, which might be also interpersonal, but also between Adam and Makom, govern our relationship with God. But in general, in mitzvos, mishpatim, there's a rhyme, there's a reason. We understand. Torah tells me to honor my father and mother. I got it. Torah tells me not to steal, not to kill. I understand that. Torah tells me that I have to give tzedakah, I have to give charity, take care of the poor. I understand that. But then there are other mitzvos that I don't understand. Why I have to put four strings on the corners of my garment tzitzis, not exactly sure. Why I can't wear sharpness, wool, and linen together, also not exactly sure. But the paradigmatic example of a mitzvah that we do not comprehend is Parah Aduma, the red heifer. Because without getting into all the details, the Torah tells us when it comes to the red heifer, it makes pure those who are impure. I should say it purifies those who are impure. But yet certain individuals involved in this process who are ritually pure, in fact, become tame, become impure in the process. Parah Aduma is what we call a chok, a mitzvah that certainly has a reason, but a reason that is known to God and not known to man. And herein lies a very important lesson in our Judaism. Hashem has given us the wonderful gift of intellect. And he encourages us to use that intellect to understand things with greater depth and profundity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to explore the mysteries of the universe and the mysteries of the soul. He wants me to understand why things work, and he wants me to understand how and why I work. But at the same time, the Torah teaches us that there is a time when we must bend our intellectual knee before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to admit the fact that there are things in this world that I do not understand. There are things that are above my intellectual pay grade. There are things that, for whatever reason, do not make sense. But I believe that if it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's meaningful, purposeful, and I will obey and adhere even if I don't understand. You know, we can relate to this very much, either as parents or as children. As parents, and perhaps as children who hopefully grew up with parents, every parent has that moment where they try to explain things to their children, but then they say, you got to do it. Why? Because I'm the father, because I'm the mother. And maybe generationally that's changing a little bit, but at least again, it used to be that way. There's a certain point in time where the child has to listen to the parents simply because the parent is the authority figure. Hashem is teaching us an incredible lesson. Yes, he wants us to understand. Yes, he wants us to grapple. Yes, he wants us to go ahead and use our intellect to discover whatever we can. But if there are things in our Judaism that we don't understand, Hashem expects our obedience, Hashem expects our adherence, and Hashem expects our commitment to the fulfillment of those details. That is the message of Parah Aduma, that even if there's something in my Judaism that I don't understand, or maybe even more intensely, if there's something in my Judaism that doesn't make sense to me intellectually, I say, Hashem, I use my gift of the intellect to understand as much as I can. But where my intellect ends, my obedience and my commitment continues. Even if I don't understand what it is that you're asking of me, or I should say, even if I don't understand why you're asking it of me, I am committed ultimately to following through. I'm committed to being attentive to the details. I'm committed to showing up. I'm committed to continuing forward. I'm committed to being an obedient child. A little bit later on in the parasha, the Torah describes the incredible and overwhelming episode of what we call Mei Meriva. Miriam dies, and with her goes the miracle of the well. The Jews are thirsty, over 3.5 million people in the desert, nothing to drink. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, a little bit of an angry mob, saying to Moshe, what did you do to us? Why did you take us out? We're going to die here. Because Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, and Hashem says, no, don't worry, take your staff, and go speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth water. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak to the rock. Instead, he goes ahead, and he hits the rock, not once, but twice. The rock gives forth its water, supplying the entire nation. But Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable for disobeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him to speak to the rock, and Moshe hit the rock. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu was given what could only be imagined to be a most damaging piece of information. Hashem tells him that because you hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, because you did not sanctify my name in front of the multitude of the Jewish nation, you, Moshe, and Aaron as well, will not enter into the land of Israel. And my dear friends, we have to understand what a stunning blow this must have been to Moshe Rabbeinu. All Moshe wanted was to enter into the land. All Moshe wanted was to potentially resume some type of normalcy after he handed off the reins to Yoshua. And yet here Hashem is telling him that because of one misstep, he will not enter into the land. How are we to understand the magnitude of this punishment when compared to the seemingly lack of severity of the sin? It is true, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. He was supposed to speak to the rock, not hit the rock. Got it. And I understand that there has to be a ramification for Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake. But to take away his entry into the land of Israel because of this seemingly small infraction seems to be a bit intense and seems to be a bit much. How are we to understand it? And I think that on a most basic level, the Gemara points out that Moshe Rabbeinu's major mistake was the mistake of kaas, the mistake of anger. The Talmud points out that right before Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and strikes the rock, he says three words, Shimu Nahamorim, listen, you rebellious ones. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and the Gemara makes an amazing statement. Balichlal kaas, balichlal taos. When you allow yourself to fall into the clutches of anger, you make all kinds of mistakes in life. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need to make this mistake. He got angry at the Jewish people, and one might even argue it was justifiable anger. But once you go ahead and you get angry, you lose cool, calm, collected, rational thought, and you become a vehicle of emotion. Moshe Rabbeinu got so angry at the Jewish people that he chose to strike the rock instead of speaking to it. Ba lichlal kos, ba lichlal tos. When one falls into the clutches of anger, one makes all kinds of mistakes. There are many different situations that come up in life each and every day, and some of them really make us lose our cool. Whether it's dealing with friends, dealing with family, dealing with a spouse, dealing with siblings, whoever it might be, sometimes our interpersonal relationships test the limits of our patience and resolve. But it is our job to always keep an even-keeled temperament. It is our job to avoid falling into the clutches of anger. Because when anger sets in, rational thought dissipates. When anger sets in, we lose the ability to think about things as a normal, level-headed person. The Talmud actually makes a dramatic statement of Kalakois Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. When you get angry, it's as if you're worshiping idolatry. Really? Person loses their temper, it's as if they're worshiping idolatry. But what the rabbis are teaching us is a very profound idea. That when you get angry, you're just a step away from worshiping idolatry. Because when we get angry and we lose control, we're capable of doing all kinds of things, committing all kinds of averos, and making all types of mistakes. The Torah highlights this episode to tell us that even a great man like Moshe, if he allowed himself to fall into the clutches of anger, could make a most dramatic mistake that cost him so much. If we allow ourselves to fall into the clutches of anger and act based on that anger, we too can make so many dramatic mistakes and chas v'shalom, God forbid, lose out on so much blessing. Two short and simple lessons from this week's parsha. We have to learn to be good and obedient children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if I don't always understand what halacha is asking of me, I bend my knee, I'm an obedient child, and I'll do what my father asks of me. Second lesson, the danger of anger. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he allows himself to get angry, makes all kinds of mistakes and loses out on beautiful life blessings. There are many times in life where we feel warranted in getting angry. We must resist the urge. We must maintain a proper temperament. We must learn ultimately again how to deal with the challenging situations of life without flying off the handle, getting angry, or losing my temper. Balichlal kaos, balichlal taos. Because when we get angry, we make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, we run the risk of losing out on so much beautiful life blessing and bounty. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbos.